Hi, this is Steve Compella from Golden Arrows. If you thought I was a son of the soil, check the real soil. Just listen to Sports Live with BBK. They don't come any darker. The darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. Sports Live with BBK.
Greetings and salutations to one and all, and thank you for taking the time to tune into Sports Live with BBK, your favorite Friday special podcast. My name is Bareng Batho Gorgeous, and I do edit the sports pages of the Sunday Times, and I also write a weekly column in what is South Africa's biggest weekly newspaper. Now, cast your mind back and take a walk down memory lane with me. The time is 2011 when the Carling Black Label Cup came around, and it did so, well, we can say, under a cloud of controversy. The reason being that the argument that was advanced at the time was that the competition that preceded it, which would have been the Telkom Charity Cup, or for those who are grey in their beards and their hair, remember it as Iwisa Charity Spectacular. Well, that had been a long-standing feature of SA football, and it had been the annual one-day tournament which had been in operation for around 24 years. Well, the public would vote by telephone for their favourite football team to participate. The four clubs with the most votes qualified for the tournament, and of course, the aim of the tournament was to raise money for charity through the votes and gate fees. The four clubs selected will then participate and were drawn in a two semi-finals played in one day after the other, and then the two winning teams will play in the final later that evening, crowning a fantastic day for football fans. Well, in 2011, it made way for what is now known as the Carling Black Label Cup, which has occupied that space. And that competition features Kaizer Chiefs as well as Orlando Pirates. That match always takes place at the FNB Stadium. But this year, because of coronavirus, which has hit a lot of sporting events for a six, to use a cricket analogy, the Carling Black Label Cup will not be played. It's been postponed to next year. But tell you what, something special, something very, very big is going to take place in the place of that. So now joining me to discuss what Carling will be doing this year is Arne Rust, and he is the man that occupies the position of Carling Black Label Brand Director. Arne, welcome to Sport Live with BBK, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, BBK. Good morning, everybody listening.
Yeah, man, I was getting a little bit worried when I was calling you and couldn't get hold of you, and I thought, yesterday was a public holiday, Heritage Day. Maybe Arne took a lot of heritage from his own product. Maybe he's struggling to get through.
Unfortunately not, BBK. I wish that was the case. We're so busy that this week's just been a bit crazy, man.
No worries. Don't you all wish we could still be in bed and enjoying the long weekend like most of fellow South Africans are doing right now, some of them on the road visiting different provinces as they are taking advantage of this very long, long weekend after the country and the man who his name is fellow South Africans himself, President Cyril Ramaphosa, took the country to level one lockdown. Now, Arne, on Tuesday, it was launched. I was there at the FNB Stadium. I would like you to tell our listeners what the Carling Black Label Cup of Ages is all about.
Yeah, we began. It was a glorious event on Tuesday. It was so surreal walking into FNB Stadium and seeing it empty. It really makes you realize what we've missed out on this year. So In that vein, with everything that people have had to forego, we want to bring our fans and our consumers something special. So what we've done is we've taken all of the Carling Cups that have ever been played, so all eight games. That's over 12 hours of football footage. And we've edited that into one whole new 90-minute game with all the players, all your favorite players, everybody on the same pitch. And what I have to be very clear about here is that this is not a highlights package. What we are doing is we're using the magic of technology and the magic of the editing room to create new moments using the visuals from the old games. So shots that used to be goals might in this round not be goals, and the other way around. So it's really going to be an epic, epic, epic game with a lot of entertainment for our fans.
Moments from all eight previous matches played infused into one, Arno? Come on, get out of here.
How many goals can you fit into 90 minutes, BBK? We're not here to watch the midfield back and forth. We want to see the edge of your seat, heart pounding stuff happening in the box And that's what we're going to bring.
And I can think of many, many moments coming through from the 8 editions of the previous Carrying a Black Label. Now, in this Cup of Ages, how do I reconcile the fact that at some stage, Itumeleng Nkune, the goalkeeper of Kaizer Chiefs, decides to face off with Monip Joseph and take a penalty himself. And I think that a lot of rugby people, and rugby is coming back, by the way, tomorrow for the first time in many months, a lot of rugby people would have thought that the kick that Kune did would have been perfect for those poles. I'm thinking Erasmus and Ninaba smiling a wall-to-wall smile because it was such a huge miss. It went over the crossbar and it went to see Pirates winning that edition of the cup. How do you take this magical moment and make it not to be what me and millions of others who watched it game saw?
So we have footage of the ball ending in the back of the net on other shots. So what we could very well do is take that footage, edit it into Kune's shot, and I hear you on the goal kicking prowess of Kune. And look, there's no disputing his credentials, right? Because I think he's played in every single one of the Carling Cup. So a legend by any measure. And once that ball leaves his foot, it's up to the editing floor to see what happens.
Yeah. I think he missed out on last year's edition because I think Price Vuma was in goals for Kaizer Chiefs then. Now I also think when the hype happens, when you can get warm bodies, when you can get palms on seats at FNB, the carnival atmosphere that is created, Arno, and the ambiance that is there always works. But also what has been part and parcel of this competition has been fans participating in selecting their starting 11s and stuff like that. People entering to become champion coaches and all of that. Are all those elements not part of what is happening this year?
So it's going to be slightly different this year, BBKs, because we can't go into taverns, or we couldn't go into taverns like the way we used to give our fans a voice in the game. But that's not falling away entirely. So if you go onto Twitter now, Twitter or Facebook, and you give us your ultimate starting 11. So if you choose your dream team, and those conversations that you always have to have over a beer, like if you could choose your 11, who would you choose? If you give us that team, we will give you a guaranteed 20 rands worth of airtime. Not a chance to win, not a you might have the airtime. We're going to give you 20 bucks just for giving us your starting 11. And those inputs are going to be part of what we consider when we do the editing.
Moving on, when you look at how technology has been able to assist with all the coronavirus impediments, you will see that you had sound effects that have been done in order to make sure that the games that are being played do not become quite a bore. So how is the Cup of Ages going to involve those kind of elements going forward?
So we spoke a little bit about the fans earlier. If we take all 8 iterations of Cup so far, we have almost 800,000 people in the stands. So that's what we'll be showing, it's mad. So every year we pack FNB. So what we'll do when we edit the Cup of Ages is we'll show the fans. We'll show how the fans have changed over the years. We'll see some fans that haven't changed at all and some in memoriam. So there are some classic legendary fans in the stands, and we'll be showing those, right? And we'll be editing the sound from that stadium into the footage, so it will by no means be a bore.
Most definitely. And now, when you also look at another fact that used to be a feature, or will continue to be a feature when this comes back next year, is that a fan will be winning R1 million, half a million of that going into charity of his choice. That is also not happening this year.
Not in that format, BBK, but what we will be doing is if you watch the game, there will be a mechanic during the game where you as a fan can win 50,000 rand cash. So we will be communicating that in due course, but there will be a way for the fans to either choose their player of the ages, is what we're calling it.
Yes.
And by doing that, they stand a chance to win 50,000 bucks. And one of those prizes will be going to a Chiefs supporter, and one of them will be going to a Pirates supporter.
So 100,000 in total, split in 50-50.
100,000.
Now, I want to remind the listeners that they are indeed listening to Sport Live with PBK, their favorite Friday special podcast. And my guest, the man that I'm having conversation with here right now, is Arne Rust, who is indeed the director at Carling Black Label South Africa. One thing that needs to be clear about this is that coronavirus, bad as it is, horrible as it is, has forced people right across every industry to think outside of the box to make sure that they create interest and generate and maintain their link with the communities that they serve, Arne?
100%. I think it's made us all a bit introspective. It's made us all a bit more, what's the word? I think we appreciate things a bit more, BBK, because we realize all the stuff that we took for granted before coronavirus. So the kind of stuff and the brands that really care about their fans, really, we can go out of our way to innovate and to bring them something special for this year. Because, man, it's been a tough year, and we'd love to give something back.
And all those people who would have made the trip to FNB Stadium, coming from the Cape Towns of this country, coming from the Durbans of this country, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, they're not going to be able to do so this time around. But where and how are they going to be able to watch this magical show that you are putting together?
So, BBK, we'll be airing it on SABC 1 on the 3rd of October at 3 o'clock. And it's going to be a proper, it's going to be a game. It's going to happen. There's going to be a pregame, a first half, a show in the middle. It's the full option, man. You can definitely have a few beers there, sit on the couch with your friends and your family, and enjoy the spectacle that is the Carling Cup of Ages.
Are you telling me that my colleagues at the SABC are going to have a full-on studio with match analysis, halftime analysis, and post-match analysis? But how are they going to be able to do that when they not know exactly what is going to be before their eyes? They will only know it and see it on October 3 at 3 p.m. like everybody else?
Absolutely. They're going to have their work cut out for them. I had a chat with some of the commentators, and if there ever was a challenge for a commentator, imagine having 160 players, because you're taking 8 years worth of squads.
Yeah.
And any of those guys can get the ball. So it is definitely going to be a challenge.
I was having a conversation there with Arne Rust, who is the director at Carling Black Label, and is talking to us about what is going to happen in place of the Carling Black Label Cup that we've all gone to know since 2011. It is not going to take place as we know it this time around, but it's going to play in its guise as the Carling Black Label Cup of Ages. Arno, last word before we say goodbye.
I'm looking forward to seeing the fan reactions to this. This is the kind of thing that we've had fans dream about. And the only thing, this has never happened on the continent. So I am very much looking forward to bringing our fans and our consumers something special on the 3rd of October. Thank you, BBK.
I hope it goes well, and I hope that when everything really does go down, and in 2021, we're going to be able to have the competition as we've known it, and we have the golden black and white carnival atmosphere happening at the Calabash, that is the FNB Stadium. Thanks, bro.
Absolutely. Thanks, BBK.
Welcome back to Sports Live with BBK right here on your favorite Friday special podcast, and we are done with our first segment. Our second segment, I'm joined by the man we call the Hurricane, and that is Kanyiso Tsuhaku. I am not talking to him wearing his cricket cap this time around. We're going back to the rugby field, because for the very first time in 6 months, rugby is returning to South Africa. I'm sure you've been craving it. The last game that you saw in Super Rugby in South Africa was Sharks versus the Stormers, and that was the game played at the Kings Park Stadium down in Durban, back home, and the Sharks ran out winners in that game. Twacks and Twacks, Hurricane, welcome on Sport Live with PBK.
Good day, good day, good day.
Wonderful, man. We're going back to Loftus Stadium. We're going to be seeing a doubleheader there. It is called the Super Fan Saturday. 6 months absence of rugby. Are you excited to get it back in action?
Yeah, it feels like a preseason again. I mean, it's odd that the Bulls in particular, they were traveling in Australasia when COVID decided rugby, can you halt a bit, or sports in particular.
Yes.
So I think the Lions also traveling at the time. The Stormers and the Sharks, yes, I was actually at that game. It was a very, I remember the atmosphere was very somber. It's like people knew that there was this could be the last time we're actually going to watch live rugby this year. Because at the time the onslaught was coming, if I remember correctly, we'd already reported the first COVID infection, and it happened to be in Hilton at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually very close to home. I mean, I think Durban at the time was the frontier of COVID infections. So
those tourists coming from Italy landed,
and so it's an interesting return. It's going to be, I mean, the times are very tricky. I thought they'd have the normal 3 and 5 p.m. kickoffs. I mean, they would have learned from football. Football tried to get in as much game time, in family time as possible. The PSL, I think, and SuperSport have hit on a gold mine with those 3 and 6 p.m. kickoffs, because now people will be able to watch matches in a time that is comfortable for everyone, because it works. I think 4:30 is the normal rugby time with 4-5 p.m. kickoff. 7 o'clock, I mean, they'd already dispensed with the 7:10 kickoff for Saturday and for Saturday games. So that 7 o'clock time, it's going to be very tricky. I mean, look, EPL's back. I mean, Premiership Rugby's back. I mean, European Champions Cup. I mean, those tournaments have already gained a foothold in people's minds. So shifting back now to domestic rugby, and there's no competitive. At best, I mean, it's been a 6-month layoff. It's a return to rugby. It's not going to be as competitive. So getting people to shift from competitive sports into what at best it is rugby, but it's warm up at the end of the day.
No, most definitely. Speaking of those times, Kanye, so the first match of the doubleheader at Loftus is going to be kicking off at 4:30, and that will be a clash between the Bulls as well as the Sharks. Now, when you talk about the Bulls, it looks like it's been a revolution when you look at terms of how they've got in Jake White, and it's got a completely new technical team coming through, and a whole host of players, some of them that are going to be making their debut for the Bulls, include your Rio Aplon as well as your Anna Potter.
Well, whether that revolution takes root, I think it can be only accurately judged in the domestic tournament. But I mean, when the Sharks and the Bulls met, when they opened Super Rugby on the 31st of January, mm-hmm. I mean, they were coached by Porter Heeman. Mani Lipok was playing for the Bulls at the time. He's now in Durban.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's how many changes that have taken place. I mean, if you look at the other franchises, we'll discuss them individually, but they've kept a semblance of solidity.
Yeah.
Whereas the Bulls, while everyone was trying to keep their houses in check because of COVID, the Bulls, the checkbook was being signed. The check. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember that the ownership now, Patrice Motsepe is part of the ownership group at the Bulls. I mean, Jake has brought in a number of players. I mean, Arno Botha, he was at the Bulls. If people remember Arno Botha's story correctly, in his second test match, he came off with a knee injury. At Nelspruit against Scotland, guess who came on his place?
Mm.
Debuted one Siya Kolisi.
Yep.
So look, he's got a lot to prove. I think he's been playing very well for Munster. What we will see why. He's spoken very well about Jake. I mean, we had a press conference with him this week where he spoke very well about what the Bulls intend on doing, and he also was very honest with the fact that he hasn't been watching much of the Bulls in his time in Europe, which I think he has done himself a very big favour, because it's not like the Bulls are actually worth watching, especially under Porter Heeman.
Yeah.
There was some sort of revolution coming out of John Mitchell, but I mean, when that England job came up, I mean, he had no option to take. I'm with the Sharks. Well, I mean, Sean Everett had a press conference with him yesterday, and he's understood that they needed to press the reset button. They've lost a critical player, Andre Esterhazy, and we used to call him the flank at centre, but this season in particular, he was very important for the Sharks in that he had added to his playing dimensions, able to get over the gain line,
mm-hmm.
offload at critical times, pass at critical times, and also for the kicking game, he was critical, because they would have Kevin Bosch at 10, he would then come in at 12 with his very big left boot, so the Sharks were able to vary the kicking game very well. I mean, if there's one thing that Kevin Bosch had hinted to in an earlier press conference before lockdown, is that in that particular game they were outplayed by Morne Stein, but as soon as Andre Esterhazy came into his own with his carries and the kicking game, things changed. Now this is where Mani Lipok may come in, because Mani Lipok kicks well of both feet,
sure.
But with Apelene Fassie injured, they may need to use him at fullback, and also Mani is a very talented player.
Speaking of Apelene Fassie, he's out for 4 months with a shoulder injury. How much of a negative impact is that going to be for the Sharks?
Look, Sean Everett did say that Apelele was on the cusp of Bok involvement. Yeah. And look, if we looked at his performance,
yeah.
The weekend special did everything that I was asked of him and more. I think the good part with that, it's bad to be injured. But I think at least it's not a leg injury or a ligament injury, because yeah. those ligament injuries tend to have a detrimental impact on pace.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shoulder injury. It's a 4-month layoff. So that means we could be looking at best, a January return. But remember that in January, there's only pretty much 2 or 3 rounds before the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Sharks now evolve their game plan. But again, Sean Everett did say that they were a bit thin on at fullback, which is why they bought Mani Leibold in. Because remember, Kerwin Bosch is also fullback, but he's been primed to play fluff, which he did very well through the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how Mani actually looks at fullback. But if he plays, the Sharks have got a 10-15 option where they can use 2 playmakers.
Sure. You are definitely listening to Sports Live with PBK. And I'm joined in studio by a man who knows his rugby from his cricket, from his athletics, from his Comrades Marathon. Oh, yes, he loves attending and covering the Comrades Marathon. I'm talking about Kanyiso Tswaku here, a man with a beautiful brain of sports in general. Now, Kanyiso, we're moving on to the second game, kicking off at 7 p.m. in the doubleheader at Loftus tomorrow. Tomorrow, Superfan Saturday, it will be the Stormers taking on the Lions. Now, at the beginning of the season, a certain skipper of the Springboks, the person of Siya Kolisi, was indeed injured. He's recovered from that knee injury. He's going to be leading up the Stormers.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Siya plays. Look, it was a very bad tackle there from Ricky Rikitele. It was a late tackle, it was a lazy tackle.
Mm.
And look, the Stormers, they blew hot and cold. Blue hot in that their forwards rocked up for each game. I remember even in that Sharks game, yeah. they actually had the better of the forward exchanges.
Most
except for losing a few scrums here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I think all eyes will be on how their back division actually operates. Ricus Pretorius will be starting at 12 for the Stormers.
Yeah.
He's a very talented player. He's been given license to perform. The jury's been out on Damian Willemse on whether he's been able to embrace the fact that at fly off, you need to manage your game as and when the game pans out in front of you.
Yes.
But I think what will work for the Stormers, and I hope the Bulls don't regret themselves, because they allowed Warwick Gillan to go back to go to Cape Town and play for the Stormers. So now the Stormers now will have a 10-15 combination that can interchange just like the Sharks can.
So now, if Kolisi is going to be captaining the Stormers, who's going to be the man leading charge at the Lions? It's definitely going to be Elton Chanches. Now, seeing that we are heading to the Rugby Championship and knowing that Andre Pollard is out injured, it makes no sense to go anywhere else but look at Elton Chanches as the man who's going to be taking up the kicking duties, Kanyiso. Is this game in particular a moment for him to establish himself as the prime fly half candidate going into Australia?
Someone of Elton Yangis' stature, experience, shouldn't be worried about establishing himself as a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It is clear that there is a succession plan. He is next in line. These things happen in rugby that there happens to be someone better than you in that position.
For sure.
You just have to wait your turn. I mean, all the flowers in New Zealand had to wait their turn when Dan Carter was holding the fort.
Mm-hmm.
Bowden Barrett's holding the fort. New Zealand tried to stuff around it, then move him to fullback, try Richie Mwaunga. I think it didn't work.
Yeah.
So it's clear that now Yankees is in prime position. Whether he's able to just gel defensively, because he does everything that's asked of him from game management perspective, kicking perspective. I think if he's able to just gel defensively, because I think that's where every question mark is with his defense. And I think there are many countries with defensively deficient fluffs.
Mm-hmm.
England have always been able to cushion George Ford,
sure. because
they know what it brings on attack. But again, if you look at the defensive integrity that the Springboks have enjoyed, every man has to rock up on the defensive duties.
Sure.
So if they can sort that out, I mean, then we shouldn't be having a debate on Elton. But again, he's understood. I think he's made it a point that every time he's needed to prove himself, he's gone out and done the business. I mean, look, I think the one black mark, and I think it applies to the Lions and not just to him, is that in the 3 times that he played Super Rugby Finals, they weren't able to get over that mark. I mean, the 2 Crusaders teams that lost to are all-time
yeah.
great teams.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be held on, that slide shouldn't be held on him. But I think now, I think it's for him to actually stamp his authority, that he is the man and everyone else follows in the picking order. And I think this game, the next week's Springbok Showdown, and the few games that the Lions will be taking part in the domestic competition. Notwithstanding that the Springboks still need government permission to go to the Rugby Championship.
Yes.
They are still dead.
Yes.
So, I mean, the fixtures are out. New Zealand rugby aren't happy with Australia rugby because of the timing of the fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's new territory. I mean, at that time of the year, the Southern Hemisphere teams are having a jolly in Europe, winding down the season. Teams down here are winding up at this point this year. The Currie Cup's leading up to crescendo.
Yeah.
Then it's off-season. Guys go to Japan, So, I mean, it's as you've hinted, as we had in other conversations, it is new territory for every sport. I mean, in a further conversation we have, it's going to be interesting to see how the cricket season will look.
Very much so. It is virgin territory for all of us all around the world and right across every sporting court. That man who was giving you great insights on rugby and what is going to happen tomorrow on a Superfan Saturday with rugby coming back for the first time in South Africa after a six-month layoff, his name is the one and the only Hurricane Kanyiso Tswako. Thank you very much for joining us on Sports Live with BBK. We hope that you're going to be able to enjoy this episode like you've done the ones that we've delivered to you previously, and do have a safe and wonderful weekend, South Africa. Let us make sure that we do not drink and drive. Let us make sure that we still remember that, yes, we are on level one, but coronavirus is still around and we have to continue doing everything in our power to make sure we live with and around this disease wisely and continue to take care of ourselves, wear our masks, take care and do so in social distancing so that we can be able to go on with our lives moving forward. Enjoy your weekend. BBK signing off.